Mark chapter 10 this morning. We want to look at a miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And I've entitled the message this morning. I know you're saying, what, you entitled a message? Well, the title of the message this morning is A Joyful Day in the Life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A joyful day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a joy-filled day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, and beginning at verse number 46. Well, no, we'll begin at verse number 45 because it really is an important part of it. Verse 45 is a verse that probably we're all familiar with. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then verse 49, and I'm just going to stop for a moment after we read the first phrase of verse 49 and pray. And then it says this, And Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. We're going to look at the remainder of the story in a moment, but first let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just bow our hearts this morning, rejoicing in our salvation, awed by your love, just overwhelmed by your personal love to each one of us. Lord, we pray this morning that you would stir our hearts. And challenge us through your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, as we think of this story of this miracle that the Lord Jesus did in the life of this man, Bartimaeus, we can look at it from two perspectives. Most of the time when you look at a passage like this, we focus on the perspective of the man that received the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's commonplace for us, and it's probably the most common thing to think about, man, what it was like for Bartimaeus. Here's a man that is blind, he's sitting there begging, and in one moment, he receives his sight by the mercy and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to look at it from a different perspective. I want to look at it from the perspective of Jesus Christ. Because most of the time we look at what it meant to Bartimaeus, which is, we just sang about it, and the amazing love of God and Christ toward us. But how often do we stop and really consider what this moment was like, what this day was like for Jesus Christ? For Jesus Christ. And this is why I said the title of the message is A Joy-Filled Day in the Life of Jesus Christ. You know, I was just as I was studying this, I was thinking about it, and then someone sent me a link to a book, a new book that was written, and it caught my attention. And I read, actually I only read the introduction because that was basically all I needed to read, and I fully agreed with the book and understood the book and got the book, and I only read like the first page. Well, not even probably about the first half of the first page. But the title caught my attention as a pastor because it was about a revived pastor. And I began to read the premise of the book and the introduction of the book. In the introduction of the book, the man had written for a number of years. He'd been in the ministry for over 40 years, and he was writing a book. He just published this in 2021, and it was how he had seen over the last few years how discouraged and depressed pastors had gotten. And he began to write about it, and he began to research about it, and about pastors that were revived in the ministry. And he first spoke, and he said, you know, he says the pastor, first of all, is just confined himself and under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, just in the everyday routine of the ministry. And he put it this way. He says, you know, every pastor faces the pressure of expectation by, and he put, and I like that, he put some of the people. Okay, so that lets all of you off the hook, all right? But he says the pressure that the pastor is under is to, number one, to be omnipresent, to just be there whenever someone needs you, no matter what time it is, and no matter how many people, to be omnipresent. I'm just going to move on quick on these. The second one is to be omniscient, to know everything, right? You expect, you call your pastor, I mean, your pastor should know everything, from what the weather's going to be like next week to, you know, everything. And then the third one is omnicompetent, to be able to handle everything and do everything all the time. And he says, there's that expectation, that pressure. And I honestly say, I've felt that many times, but not from you folks, just I put the pressure on myself. But anyways, but then he says, in the last few years, with all that we went through COVID, the pressure just increased. First of all, with the battling of COVID and then all we went through with COVID, and then even as we came out of COVID and trying to get people to return to church, and he says, over the last 2 years, he said the number of men in the ministry that have gotten discouraged, depressed, and quit has been astounding. And I've seen that as well. I've talked with pastors and everything else. But then he said, but he went on to research and to study and talk with a number of pastors about how they were revived and how they got revived. And this is where it caught my attention. I said, all right, I understand the first part, so what's the answer? And as soon as he began to state the answer, I said, well, I get that. I know that. That you're right, absolutely. And I didn't even have to finish the rest of the book, which was good because I had other things to do, like lunch. But his whole answer was this, and he's absolutely 100% right. He said the overwhelming majority, like 99% of the pastors that he spoke to and talked with and interviewed, that were revived in their ministry as pastors was because of one thing. They went out and reached the lost. Amen. They went out and reached the unsaved. They left their house. They left their church. I don't mean they left their church, but they went out into the streets and highways and they got busy reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And I said, well, that's absolute. So I shut the book and I said, well, I don't need to buy the book. And I didn't need to go into depth. I said, well, absolutely. Because I know in my own life, every time I've gotten overwhelmed or discouraged, I've just purposed, I get in my car and I go down to the street and I begin to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether the person gets saved or not, boy, I tell you what, it just lifts your spirit. It just gives you joy. And you know, that's why I was reminded of this yesterday because yesterday was a gloomy day. It was a rainy day, right? What do you do on a rainy day? Well, we did what every Christian's supposed to do. We went to Hobby Lobby. Right? Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do on rainy days? Go to Hobby Lobby. And then to Chick-fil-A. I mean, I took Gina, I took my wife to Chick-fil-A. And little sidelight joke there. But we went to Hobby Lobby, and we're walking through Hobby Lobby. And I'm following with the cart as a good husband. And Allison's going in front of me, and she took a left-hand turn at one of these aisles. As she took a left-hand turn, I happened to turn and look to the right. And as I looked to the right, I saw about probably 25 feet down the aisle a man. And No joke. There's relatively few things that caused me to be speechless. But I was speechless. I just stood there and I looked. And I saw this man about 25 feet down the island. He just stood there staring at me. And we must have stared at each other for probably close to a minute. And I'm just looking. And I know I'm looking like. And that's the way he was looking. And we were just looking at each other for about. And all of a sudden I realized. And all of a sudden he realized it was me and I realized it was him. And it was a man that I led to the Lord about 6 years ago. And what a blessing it was. And we went and we talked and talked with the family. But I tell you what, it just made my day. But I want to go through this passage of Scripture with you from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you want joy in your life, listen, if you want joy in your life, there's one way. You can just focus on someone else and reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now, so many times we look at Isaiah 53 and we read Isaiah 53 and it says he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with griefs. And we know that. But yet when he speaks to his disciples in John chapter 15, you know what he speaks about? He speaks about his joy. You know, Jesus Christ, listen, he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with griefs. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ did not walk around the face of this earth with a downtrodden face. He did not walk around all mumbly and grumbly and woe is me. Because in John chapter 15, he says this to his disciples in verse number 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus Christ, listen, I tell you what, when you were around the Lord Jesus Christ, there was joy. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. There was joy. And he says, "I want you to know my joy. I want my joy to remain in you. And I want your joy to be full. I want your joy to be full." And you know, that's why I say we need to come back to Mark chapter 10 and think about it from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Mark chapter 10, we have the miracle of Bartimaeus. Right after this, we have Jesus meeting with Zacchaeus. And I began to, I don't have all the time in the world this morning, but I began to go back and look at the lives of people, the lives of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lives of the people in the early church. You can go to Acts chapter 8. You can go to Acts chapter 8, great persecution against the church. Great persecution. They're scattered abroad. And what do? They go preach the gospel. And what do we see them doing? Philip's down there in the desert. He's talking to a man gets saved and baptized. And it speaks about how they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. And you know, in Zacchaeus, they're rejoicing. The jailer gets saved. They're rejoicing. And the Lord Jesus Christ here in Mark chapter 10, what a day this must have been. What a day of joy this must have been. You just stop and think about it. He's walking. Listen, stop and think about this. Jesus spent a lot of time in his public ministry walking around from place to place. You know, we might have said, well, you know why? He came to go to the cross. Why didn't he just go and hang out in Jerusalem and wait for the day that he had to go to the cross? Because he says, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom." And so he's walking, he's all the time, he's walking around. And all the time, you know, he had, putting it in perspective, man, he had many reasons, many days to be frustrated or discouraged or depressed. You just think about it. You're walking around, you're seeking to save that which is lost. And you got a big crowd following you. And yet they really don't want to listen. They just want to see something happen. You got a bunch of Pharisees walking around behind you, telling you everything you're doing wrong, right? This is the Lord Jesus. This is what's going on. And then you got your disciples. Now, you might think, well, the disciples has a good... No. You know, there were a lot of times they were a bunch of whiny babies, right? He had problems with the disciples. How many times did he have to correct the disciples? So this is what you got around us. This is what you got around us. You got a crowd following, and most of them were there just because they were hungry and wanted, you know, bread. And by the way, you know where else we went yesterday? We went somewhere yesterday we had never been before. Trader Joe's. Ever been to Trader Joe's? Okay, well, anyways. The reason I said that is because we got some sourdough bread. And I saw all these people just rushing up to this one counter, and they're all getting the bread. And so I was like the multitude. I'm saying, what's going on? And I look in there. They're all, I mean, a lot of people picking up sourdough bread. And Allison says, do you want the Italian bread? I said, no, I want the bread that everybody else is picking up. No one's picking up the Italian bread. I want the sourdough bread. And, you know, that's how the multitude was. Just give me some bread. I want to eat. I want my belly to be filled. And then you get the Pharisees walking around. You know, why is he eating with sinners? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? You know, and then you get the disciples. I want to be first. And then he comes to Jericho. And boy, how his heart must be filled with joy. You know why? Well, first of all, we'll see in verse, let me give me my 3 points so that I can get those out of the way and I don't have to worry about them again, okay? Number one is the call from verse 46 down through verse number 50. Number two, I always miss point number two. Number two is the conversation in verse 51. And number three is the change in verse 52. So just in case you never hear those words again, all right, those are the outlines, all right? But first of all, the call, all right? Here's Jesus Christ. He's walking through Jericho, coming out of Jericho. Multitude following him, Pharisees and scribes and people, his disciples. And all of a sudden, there's a man, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on him. And Jesus stood still. That phrase right there, Jesus stood still. He stopped. He heard a man crying out for mercy. He heard a man crying out by faith in the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, who this man would, Bartimaeus would say, Lord, crying out for mercy. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us. It tells us of Bartimaeus' condition, that he was blind and also that he was begging. He was blind and he was begging. Not only was he blind, but he was also begging, which means that, you know, it'd be one thing to be blind and yet have enough money to be made comfortable in your home. But this wasn't the case. He was blind and begging. And the Bible says when this man Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he cried out. Now, I stopped and I began to think of, why did he cry out? What had he heard about Jesus? How had he heard about Jesus? What caused him to cry out? It's only two things I could think of. One of them is if he knew the scriptures. And I think he did. He must have known the Old Testament scriptures, because he refers to Jesus as a son of David, a reference to the Messiah. And he believed that this one, Jesus, was the Messiah, the one that God had sent. And one of the prophecies about the Messiah, one of the testimonies in the book of Isaiah about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is that he would come to heal the blind. That he would come to heal the blind. And I don't know, but you could just imagine the expectation as this man sat there every day, as he could feel the sun on his face, and as he could hear the busyness of the crowd around, and all the things that were going, yet he couldn't see, and yet he knew the scripture. He knew what it said. It said the Messiah is going to come one day. The Messiah, the one sent from God. That's what we're waiting for. That's our expectation. He's going to come one day. And one of the things that God said about his son, the Messiah, the servant of God, the chosen one of God, Shiloh, that when he comes, he's going to heal the blind. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're a man sitting there and you're blind and someone opens up the Word of God and tells you that this one, Jesus, or this one, the Messiah, is going to come and that he will heal the blind, I tell you what, when you all of a sudden hear that he's in your city, you're going to get excited. But you know what else I bet this guy had heard? I bet he had heard stories of how the Messiah had already come and already healed other people that were blind. Can you imagine? He's heard the scriptures. He's heard the Old Testament scriptures. He's heard how Jesus Christ is going to come and he'll heal the blind. And then he's heard stories. Because you know multitudes that would come and multitudes would come back and they'd been with Jesus Christ. And the stories, that would be told. The story of that man born blind from birth in John chapter 9. That Jesus healed. And that man that said, one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Can you imagine this man's heart? He's heard the scripture, the word of God. He's heard the testimony of others, the testimony that Jesus Christ is able, that he has come. He has healed the blind. And he's heard the testimony of a man. Possibly he's heard the testimony that said, once I was blind and now I can see. And this man's sitting there begging by the wayside every day thinking, maybe one day that'll be me. Maybe one day he'll stop by here. Maybe one day he'll come to Jericho. Maybe one day he'll come and touch my eyes. Maybe one day he'll come into my presence and heal me. And all of a sudden he hears a commotion. And he says, what's going on? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he begins to cry out. He begins to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, then you got verse 48. Hey, here's the people around Jesus Christ. Here's the people around. Don't bother him. He's too busy. He hasn't got time for you. Oh, hold on. First of all, I tell you what, that man begging there, I'm sure it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Good for you. Good for you, Bartimaeus. You know what? The world is saying, don't listen. And Bartimaeus says, I don't care what everybody else says. This is my day. This is my moment. He is here near me. I am going to be heard. I am going to cry out until he hears me. And he cried, the Bible says, he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then the Bible says this. And Jesus stood still. You know why Jesus stood still? Go over to Luke chapter 15. Jesus still stood still. And I'm sure that the heart of Jesus Christ was filled with joy at the moment when he heard this man, Bartimaeus, crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Luke chapter 15 speaks about joy. In Luke chapter 15, and Pastor Donnie referenced this when we were singing one of the hymns. I forget which hymn, but the Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And verse 5, 6, and 7, three times it mentions joy. The joy of Jesus Christ when he is seeking to save someone which is lost. But you know, in verse number 4, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? All right, so here's the picture. Jesus says he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one sheep. He goes after one. Now think about it. Think about it. Maybe you've had a pet. I don't know why, but maybe you have. Okay? That's your business, okay? But maybe you've had a pet and maybe that pet has gotten lost. Right? And you know how intense your heart gets when your pet is lost and you have to go look for that pet, right? And you go search for that pet and you're looking for that little kitten or that cat or well, I don't know why you'd go chasing after a dog, but anyways, okay. So you're going looking for that pet that's lost. And you're wandering, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking. And all of a sudden, your ears perk up. Because all of a sudden, you hear something. What do you hear? You hear, meow. Meow, right? Or you hear a little, I don't know how what a dog would say, you know. But anyways. But you hear that cry of that one that is lost. And you've been searching for it. And you still can't see it yet. But all of a sudden you hear that sound. And all of a sudden your heart just quickens. I believe that's what was happening right here in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I've come to minister to those that are lost and give my life a ransom. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And all of a sudden, he's walking through Jericho. He's got a multitude around him. I mean, he's got all these voices clamoring. He's got his disciples. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got people asking questions, people dying. You know, he's got all this. And all of a sudden, out of the midst of all that noise, he hears a voice. He hears a voice. Son of David. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And he hears it again. And the Bible says, he stood still. Let me tell you something this morning. I know the majority of us here are saved. But I tell you this, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ thrills to hear you call unto him. It rejoices the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when you and I call unto him for his mercy. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy, to help, and grace to help in time of need. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says he stood still. And then not only did he stand still, but then he commanded him to be called. You know, it doesn't say who charged him that he should hold his peace. But Jesus Christ all of a sudden said, hold on a second. I hear the cry of that lost one. I hear the cry of that one sheep pleading to be saved, to be rescued. And he stood still and he says, command him, go tell him to come. And the Bible says they did. And the Bible says they call the blind man saying, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And then look at verse number 50. How this must have thrilled the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Not only did he hear the voice of this man crying out, but then look what he saw. Look what Jesus saw. You know, we can, it's just like in Luke chapter 15, when you have the prodigal son who's gone afar off and finally comes to his senses and returns to his father's house. Where's the father? The father's not out back. The father's not in his bedroom. The father's on the porch looking. And his heart rejoices when he sees his son coming. Well, what do you think the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was like in verse number 50 when he sees this man? He sees this man cast away his garment, his outer garment. You say, why did the man cast away his outer garment? You know why? He didn't want anything to hinder him from getting to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know, this garment might get in the way. It might slow me down. It might stop me from getting up. He threw that garment away and he got up and he came to Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, how the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ must have been filled with joy to overflowing as he heard this man cry, as he saw this man come. And you know, not only does the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does his heart thrill and is filled with joy when you and I cry unto him, but boy, his heart is filled when we cast away everything that hinders us from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, even as his children. When we say, you know what? I need to be closer to the Lord. I need to get close. The Lord's the only one that can help me. He can help me. He can take care of me. He can fix my life. He can change my, he's a miracle one, right? And I'm going to cry unto him, and I'm going to come unto him. And you know what? I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting to Jesus. We can look at it from our perspective. We sing that song, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. But think about it from the other perspective. All that thrills the heart and the soul of Jesus when he hears someone crying out for mercy. When he sees someone casting away their garment, when he sees them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were down in New London last week. It's 10:27, so hang on to your seats. We were down in New London. I'm just thankful that clock. It just reminds me to tell you to be patient. But anyways, we were down in New London last week, and you know, we're cooking hot dogs and passing out gospel tracts and everything. And I know that you folks that were down there, every time someone came near that stand, your heart leaped a little, didn't it? Right? Your heart leaped a little, didn't it? Right? He just said, oh, so, right, Sam? Someone's coming. Someone's coming. You get excited, right? You get excited. Someone's coming. We got to give them a hot dog. More than that, we got to give them a gospel track, right? And then they actually stopped and talked. And you had an opportunity to just talk with them about Jesus Christ. Boy, what a thrill that is. And so first of all, we see the call. But second of all, then let's look at the conversation. The conversation. Because the conversation goes like this. In verse 51. And I want you to think about it from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when this man came, now listen, Jesus Christ knew all about this man. He knew the heart of men. He knew the conditions of man. He knew this man. When this man came up, it was obvious he was blind. He knew the need of this man. And yet the conversation goes like this. He answered and he said, Jesus answered him and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus says, what would you like me to do unto you? And by the way, he didn't say, what would you like me to do for you? He says, what would you like me to do unto you? That's the question the Lord Jesus Christ posed. You know, I would ask you that question this morning. We're not at the end of the message yet. But I'll ask you that question this morning. Have you ever stopped to really think? What do you want Jesus Christ to do unto you today? Not for you, but unto you. Not, well, I want Jesus Christ to provide this. I want Jesus Christ to fix this. No, what do you want Jesus Christ to do in you today? Because that's what Jesus Christ asked this man. What do you want me to do unto you? Unto you. And how Jesus Christ must have been thrilled when this man answered sincerely and honestly that he wanted Jesus Christ to meet the greatest need in his life. Can you imagine how disappointed the Lord Jesus Christ would have been if he had asked that question to the man and the man had said, well, you know, I sit there every day sitting on the side of the road begging, could you just get me a nicer chair to sit in? Could you get me an umbrella because the sun is kind of intense? Could you tell my family to stop belittling me for my blindness? Could you maybe just cool the dust down in the street? See, there's a lot of things that man could have responded in. But there, Miriam responded with the greatest need in his life. He says that, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And not only did he respond with the right answer for his need, but he responded in the right way. He said, Lord. He said, Lord. He didn't say Jesus. He didn't say Master. He didn't say Rabbi. He said, Lord. Lord. Right there, he was acknowledging that he was trusting in Jesus Christ as a Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God. Lord. Lord. And I wonder this morning, if Jesus Christ stood in front of you, face to face in front of you, and said, what would you have me do in your life today? What would you say? What would you say? David wrote in Psalm 139, he said, search me, O God. Search me, O God, and try me. And know my heart, and see if there be any way of wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David said, search me, O God. David said, search me, O God. Search me. And Jesus said, what will you have me do unto thee? And I tell you what, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ must have been thrilled, filled with joy, when he heard the man's response, acknowledging that he was Lord. And then he said, please give me my sight. And so we see the call. We see the conversation. But thirdly, then we see the change. We see the change. And you know, you look down at verse number 52. Well, actually 52 could go along with verse 51. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's part of the conversation, by the way. Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, when we come to Jesus Christ, he's able to do a miracle in a moment, right? He's able to do a miracle in a moment. In the midst of the busyness of life. I remember one time down into London, and and you might say, you know, I've had people ask me, you know, why do you go to New London? Well, you know, I would ask Steve Linskins, why do you go to certain places to go fishing? You know, I'll tell you why I go to London. I go where the fish are biting, right? Do you go fishing in a parking lot? Do you go fishing in the woods? Or you go fishing in the pond? And then which pond do you go fishing in, right? I know this took me years to get Steve Linskins to tell me where to go fishing. He didn't want to tell me. He didn't want to tell me because it was a good spot. And it is a good spot. And when you go there and you use the right bait and you throw your hook in the water, guess what? You catch fish. But don't ask me where it is because it's my spot. But anyways, I remember one time, a long time ago when we were down in London, and I remember one time there was a man, and I was trying to witness this man on the street, on Broad Street, going down in London by Williams Park. And there was a man, and I was trying to witness to him, tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he just wouldn't listen. He was distracted and everything else. And I was getting discouraged because he wasn't listening. And finally, he turned and walked away. And as he turned and walked away, this other man stepped up into his place. It's like this guy was waiting in line. And this one man left, and my heart just sank because I was trying to talk to this man. And this other guy steps up. And he said to me, "Will you talk to me?" Well, my heart just jumped. You know, I got one guy just left. But this guy stepped up to the plate. And then as I began to talk to him, it just got so noisy. Every fire truck in Connecticut came to New London in that next 2 minutes. Blaring up and down Broad Street. I mean, just, you know, lights flashing and sirens. And this guy's still listening. And he listened and he listened and he listened. And then it was even more amazing because then when I shared with him how to just pray and call upon the Lord to be saved, he stuttered. And it took him probably 3 days to pray because he just had a stuttering problem and he just couldn't get the words out. And he kept at it. He just didn't stop until he got the end of praying. And you know, Jesus Christ says to the man, "What wilt thou that I should do?" And the blind man says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And what a joy it must have been in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to say that. To say that. You came by faith, seeking by faith, and now go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And so there's a call, joyful conversation. But then we see a joyful change. And how this must have thrilled the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he came to Jericho, here's this guy sitting on the side of the road, begging, blind, helpless. And then in verse 52, and immediately he received his sight. Immediately. That's the first change. And immediately he received his sight. And that was one change. And I'm sure it thrilled the heart of that man. And I'm sure it thrilled the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to give this man a sight. But I think what filled the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ with joy even more than that was what it says in the next phrase. And he followed Jesus in the way. And he followed Jesus in the way. You know, there were times when Jesus Christ, it was one time in particular, when Jesus Christ did a miracle. He did a miracle for 10 lepers. And they went their way. They went their way. Jesus told this man, "Go thy way. Go thy way." And those 10 lepers went their way, and only one of them turned around to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, "Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine?" And Jesus Christ heals this man, gives him his sight, and he says, "Go thy way." And this man now had a choice. He had an option. Where was he going to go? Is he going to go back to his family? There are many times that Jesus Christ would tell people, go and tell your friends and tell your family the great thing that I've done and how I've compassion on you. And he could have gone home to his family. He could have decided, you know, I'm going to go just explore the world. I'm going to see what Jericho's all about. I'm going to go see what, you know, I'm just going to see the sights. But the Bible says something that must have filled the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ with joy. Because it says, he turned and with a sight that he had, he did one thing. He followed Jesus Christ in the way. He began to follow Jesus Christ. He began to follow Jesus Christ. And all the joy that must fill the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when someone trusts Jesus Christ, their Savior, and they begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is filled with joy this morning. We got a young man over here, handsome young man. Doesn't look at all like his grandfather. Handsome young, but anyways, he's gotten saved. He's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He's here this morning. You know why? To follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his way and to be baptized. And what a joy that is to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, what a day it was for him. What a day it was for Bartimaeus. What a day it is when anybody got saved. It's just a day of rejoicing. But what a day it is in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, this is what I've come to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. And he says, when I seek and I save and I find it, I return with that lamb upon my shoulders with rejoicing. Go to Luke chapter 15 one more time. One more time. One more time. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth on his soldiers. I had trouble with that word in elementary school. I remember getting sent out of class to stand on the fire escape because the teacher thought that I was saying that word wrong to get the kids to laugh. And they did laugh because I never could say shoulders. I always said soldiers. And but anyways, when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, saying, rejoicing, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Rejoice. Listen, this is a day of rejoicing. This is a day of rejoicing. And you know what? You want joy? I tell you what, you want joy? Just go out and look for someone. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Just tell them about Jesus Christ. Hand them on them a smiley face track. Hand them any track. Just tell someone about Jesus Christ. And you know what? Your heart will be filled with joy. Listen, you'll see God give you opportunities. You'll see God do things. You'll see God do miracles. You say, well, I've tried that. Try it again. Well, someone didn't listen. So what? Jesus said the fields are white already unto harvest. You know what? You go fishing. Number one, you look at that water and you don't see anything, right? But there's stuff under there. No, don't go ocean fishing because there's sharks. Go freshwater. It's more peaceful. But you want joy? Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, just thank you for the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, thank you for the joy in telling others about Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.